As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You'll be the best and you got to pay a little price. If you want it bad enough, you got to do a little extra things to get it.
This podcast is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together with the best of live and on demand. Learn more at directtv.com.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodriguez, and with me, as always, my fabulous co-host, Rich Hammond. Rich, how we doing?
You want to know something great about that, Jordan? one of our good friends on Twitter, Kyle Decker, he sent a comment the other day that said the first time he heard you do that, he didn't know it was a bit, and he thought that that was my intro, and I missed my cue. So I know I'm not a great broadcaster, but, you know, like, people actually thought, like, hey, Rich, you're supposed to talk now, and I didn't. But I love that. And I know everybody does too.
I love all of the idiosyncrasies people have picked up on.
Yeah, right. All the little quirks that we do. Jordan, how are you?
I'm in Houston still.
Yes.
As it turns out.
And one of these very, very, very rare instances, a travel snafu ends up benefiting you. Because you're actually still on ground, on earth, when the big trade happens today. Von Miller is a Los Angeles Ram as of Monday afternoon. Big trade, 2022 second round pick, 2022 third round pick. If you need Les Snead in April on the first day of the draft, he'll be in Cabo, maybe celebrating a Super Bowl after this trade. Jordan, what do we need to know about this big move?
Oh my. Well, a couple of things that have since come to light since the initial news broke. And I'm hoping that none of you start rooting for all of my flights to be canceled, because that would then sort of universally karma influence whether or not these things happen. It's sort of like the reverse situation of being on a flight when something like this happens. So I'm an optimist, right? So it's all good. So a couple things to know about this, and you can find all of this illustrated in my column, which I just filed before we jumped on here, over at The Athletic, about this entire situation and some of the nuances in it, which are really important. And I want to make sure we get to those, but overall, the Rams have been very into Von Miller for a long time, and they could never make it happen, not only because, first of all, the Broncos thought that they would be a contender and initially looked like one this year when they opened the season. Now their season has gone off the rails, and they need to start stockpiling for the future. So what better way to do that than acquire draft capital, as we know? Well, the Rams could never afford Von Miller. They still, by the way, I'm going to hammer this point home a couple of times. They still can't afford Von Miller. And those moves that they made earlier this week sort of existed in a vacuum to create other types of flexibility. And again, part of the nuance we'll get to later. They still can't afford Von Miller. So the way that this works is to come up with sort of a win-win situation where the Broncos are paying out the remaining balance of Von Miller's salary for 2021, and then he's a free agent. That's about $9 million the Rams are not paying. And again, they only had about $5 million in cap room to begin with. So there was no way they could have afforded Von Miller, a player who they'd had sort of their eye on for some time now, unless this situation unfolded the way it did, which is the Broncos needed more draft capital. Talks had already been opened with them as far back as Micah Kizer. That Micah Kizer pickup off of the practice squad in terms of assessing needs and assessing each other and where each other was at and having that line of dialogue about just what the possibilities were. Then you saw it with Kenny Young. The Broncos got Kenny Young last week. And then now the Rams have sort of capitalized off the Broncos being in a situation where they need to have that capital at second and third round picks in 2022. And then the Rams win is obviously they get Von Miller, a player they think has, you know, is as prolific as ever, even at 32, and a player who they hope can help them contain some of the dangerous quarterbacks that they're going to be coming up against as they believe they will be making a Super Bowl run, and they don't have to pay him. The Broncos are doing that for him, so that's ultimately why the pay in return, the exchange was what it was. We've seen it, and I wrote about this. This is kind of the point of my column. It's like becoming the new Rams sort of vintage move here. I'm not going to say modern throwbacks. That's your beat, Rich. I won't cross into your territory there, uniforms.
Yes, big win this week.
But it's similar to sweetening the pot to get Detroit to, you know, agree to this Jared Goff trade, to offload the salary, to make the salary more amenable. But this is just another creative way in which they're sort of twisting the normal season and sort of messing with what the normal trade agreements would possibly be. So, and as we'll get to when we talk about the nuance of this, Rich, they still held a card or two behind their backs as they did it. So initial reaction was just picturing the possibility of Von Miller with Sebastian Joseph Day and Aaron Donald on the inside and Leonard Floyd on the other side. And I just thought Jalen Ramsey just moving, spanning the entire middle of the field and the defensive backfield behind them. And I just thought, holy cow, the NFL let them do that? They let them get away with that?
just amazing, Jordan. Yeah, there's a lot to break down here. But yeah, people thought, you know, the Kenny Young trade. And like, well, see, this is why they made the Kenny Young trade. No. I mean, not exactly. You know, that's not quite the way that it worked here. Interesting to hear you, Jordan, say that it went all the way back to the Micah Kizer decision there. I had assumed, and I still think it's probably true, that, you know, when Justin Hollins got hurt, that I'm sure that the Rams perked up even a little bit more just looking at their depth on the outside. We've been talking about it. We talk about it almost every week, how they've been able to get through it. Leonard Floyd has been extraordinary. I mean, worth every dollar that they paid him. And Terrell Lewis has been one of those, you know, kind of knock on wood situations every week. You hope that he's able to get through it. And they're obviously managing things with his knee, and they've done a good job. Terrell's done a good job. The production has been good there, but you worried a little bit about the depth, really, with only Oboe there as a guy who was a regular, I guess you could consider him a veteran at this point, as strange as that sounds, still seems like a rookie to me. But to add anybody to that group, I think would have been a good move. Not to mention Von Miller. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I just, not even as a Rams fan, I am extraordinarily interested to see how that looks and how they line those guys up. And I saw one of the first reactions I saw on Twitter was from Aaron Donald, who usually doesn't express his emotions very often, but clearly was very happy to have Von Miller in his locker room right now. So, Jordan, walk us through the kind of the ramifications here, because Von Miller is going to be an unrestricted free agent, and probably a big motivation for Denver trading him right now is not knowing what he's going to do in the offseason. What are the Rams thinking here in terms of, is this just a half season plus hopefully a Super Bowl a rental? Is it realistic to think that we could see Von Miller in LA past the season? And then obviously we talked about the draft picks, what's going out. How does that, there could be a draft pick coming in, right? I mean, if Von Miller doesn't come back.
Yeah, it's just part of their team build too. I mean, this is what, when I reference sort of the cards they hold behind their backs, it's because it's a fail safe in their scenario. The fact that they have put so many resources into the identification of mid and late round draft picks, particularly compensatory picks, and that's become such a crucial part of their team build model. It's always now the card that they hold behind their back when they make big splash moves like this, is if it's a short term thing and he does help them get to where they want to go, which is what they are hoping, he helps them get to a Super Bowl down the stretch. Again, specifically the gauntlet of quarterbacks they would be facing to do it include Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, a plethora of quarterbacks who can, aside from those guys, who can move the pocket, who can make things happen in extending plays. In this way, no perimeter is safe. No flat is safe. You can't just run to the opposite side of the field away from Leonard Floyd, who runs probably like 10 miles horizontally every game. And you know, the middle parts of the field aren't safe. The pocket certainly isn't safe. This was the point, is to enforce a mathematical advantage where you already have teams considering Aaron Donald as a minus two, meaning two guys need to counter him for every one snap. You're already losing available players in that regard. Now you have Leonard Floyd and Von Miller, who you also have to account for. And one of those guys, there's not enough bodies on the offensive side to counter for those guys. And then also deal with Jalen Ramsey playing close to line of scrimmage and in your freaking face on every snap, right? So you just don't, that was just the point. But the cards that they hold behind their back here is that, you know, I was told this morning that he's somebody that if he's healthy and he plays well for them, he is somebody who they absolutely would like to have around for a longer term than just the rest of this season. And I think that's a smart way to look at it. Of course, pending those variables of health and circumstance and all of that. He's somebody who they hope will sort of fall in love with living in Los Angeles, like a lot of these guys have who have come here. And they also hope that they get him, you know, with Reggie Scott. They hope that they get him with some of these guys in their building that they really have trust in for extending guys' careers. And they hope that he produces for them and wants to stick around. If he doesn't, though, they still get a high compensatory pick, which they turn into a role player around a core contract, which is what, you know, I've written about so extensively over the last 2 years, is how that factors into their ecosystem and their team build model. The Rams probably will turn that pick into two more picks, right? And they're already expecting, I'm also told internally, they're already expecting at least four, when the maximum I think now is four comp picks. And they're expecting four with or without Von Miller. They're expecting four. So it's not like, no, they still don't have high round picks. No, they don't. But this also was congruent with their general team build. And again, I refer back to my column. That's what this is about. This has become who they are. This is congruent with the way that they do things and the math that they approach every situation with, where the checks and balances are and how it fits into their overall ecosystem and their team build.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that's such a great point, Jordan. Everybody should read more in Jordan's column, which is now live on the Athletic app and website. I'm just glancing at it right now, Jordan. I don't know whether you've seen this. I'm not trying to make you blush, but the very first comment is from Steve B. And the comment is, "You had to have known about this yesterday to write such a quality article." And first of all,
Steve, my sweet summer child.
First of all, what a nice thing for Steve to say. But I can guarantee you that Jordan did not know about this yesterday, because I think her day would have been a little bit different had she had. But I certainly agree with Steve that the quality of this article is something that most people cannot turn around in such a short period of time as Jordan did. So definitely check that out as soon as you can, if you haven't already. But Jordan, it's such a great point, and I just, they gave us a shout out, so I'll give one back to them. I was on local radio 570 with Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete just a little bit ago, and we were having that discussion about how this isn't just something that Les Snead and Kevin Demoff and those guys woke up at the start of the week and said, "Hey, you know what? We're going to make a big trade today." I mean, this is clearly, when you go back to 2017, I mean, the hiring of Sean McVay, knowing that you were going to build SoFi Stadium, knowing that a Super Bowl was going to be here a year later than you thought, but nonetheless arriving. This is all part of the mindset that goes into it. And you hear the phrase, and Jordan, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, because there's a phrase that you hear called all in, right? And we throw it around a lot, media, fans, whoever. The Rams are all in. They're all in. And that can mean like a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I think most common is people think, oh, they're mortgaging the future for this year. That's what it means. They are putting all their chips into this year, and they don't care what happens 4 years from now. And I personally reject that version of all in when it comes to the Rams, because I think it speaks to exactly what you're talking about, what you've written about for the last year. This is just how they operate. They're not just being reckless and saying we're throwing everything all in for right now and damn the future. I don't think that's true at all. Do I sit here and think they look at themselves at 7-1, looking at the rest of the NFC, looking at the AFC, looking at the fact that the Super Bowl is at SoFi Stadium,
and the quarterbacks they have to get through specifically. Right. Yeah.
Do they look at all of that and say, yeah, that's going to be the final impetus that we need to make a big move like this? Yeah, I think you say that. And I think it's fair to call that all in on this season. But I think there's a distinction between that and kind of this reckless, like, we're just going to trade all of our draft picks and we don't care what happens 3 years from now. I don't get that sense. Like, is that a distinction without a difference? Or I feel like there's a difference when it comes to the Rams.
Yeah, I think when you have that phrase and when you see it, you think or bust at the end of it, like Super Bowl or bust, right? And I don't necessarily think that's the case, as long as they continue to have the continuity that they've maintained, not just in terms of like overarching staff, you know, Lesney, Tony Pastor's, Demoff and McVay. But also the continuity now that they have at quarterback, I think that's going to be really important. And I also think, you know, having continuity in stars such as, you know, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, guys like this, who Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, you know, to me that signifies that you can still make something of, if there's a failure, you can still make something of the following year. Or bust, when people say all in, it's almost like, to me, and maybe it's just because all or nothing is like ruined everything for right. for us, but to me, it just always signifies like, you know, it just always sort of signifies like they have to blow everything up if they don't succeed. Where this team build model, and I'm going to say the word ecosystem like 45 times in this podcast, but the ecosystem they have built is built to sustain even past, you know, it's built to sustain in the ways that we described in terms of what those comp picks turn into in terms of players and traits. Just as long as you do have those star players that you build around, and you're also winning football games. And so when all of those things are working together in tandem, any one piece might sort of wreck the ship a little bit, but if one piece fails, but as long as you are having those things working in tandem, this model will continue to be sustainable. If you have, you know, catastrophic situations that are generally outliers in a season, head coach forgets how to coach football, star player, you know, and I'm knocking on wood here, but star player has some sort of setback, you fail to hit on complementary traits and complementary players for, you know, 2-3 years in a row, those types of things obviously would derail this, but the Rams are counting that those things won't happen based on their decision making, based on the resources they've put in identification of talent, the resources they put into coaching in terms of developing talent, and then also maintaining the ecosystem at a head coaching level. To me, it's like, if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, it means they didn't win the Super Bowl this year.
Right. Yeah. The only thing I would maybe tack onto that is they put themselves in this position. And the reason that this has worked, I mean, people going back to 2019, and people, oh, the Rams are all in. This is it. Like, they don't win it this year. Oh, boy, are they screwed. And here we are in 2021, and they're in a better position than they were 2 years ago. And in talking to people like this, the one thing I say is, like, it's the model is there. It's just really hard to do it. Like, yeah. And it's not going to get any easier for these guys. When you talk about not having first round picks, not having second round picks now for a couple of years, it doesn't make it impossible. It just means you have to be really good at what you do. You have to be able to find your Jordan Fuller in the sixth round, or your Sebastian Joseph Day, I think, was a sixth rounder.
Yeah.
You have to be able to find David Edwards, a fifth rounder, who's starting for you. Guys like that, even, third and fourth round, you have to, your batting average on those guys can't be low. It has to be pretty high. I'm not saying 100%. But it has to be pretty high, because it's just a numbers game. If you're not going to have those numbers, then you have to hit on a higher percentage of the ones that you do get. And you have to hit on those guys you bring in. I mean, Leonard Floyd was a home run bringing him in the way that they did. Guys like that, undrafted free agents, you have to be able to hit on a couple of those. And that's really been, and Jordan, I don't need to tell you this because you've written about it and we've talked about it for, more than a year now. That's really, when you talk about the success of the Rams, I mean, that's what keeps you going, is you have to be able to hit on those moves at a higher percentage than other teams have. And that's really what they've done here. But Jordan, so people are not maybe don't understand, right? Because they're going to look at this. Like, I even heard one person on the radio say, oh, all the Rams have next year now are fifth and seventh round picks. That's all they have. But that's not true, right? I mean, you talked about it a little bit here, but they could be in a position to have a lot more picks than that, right?
Here's how it's put to me. They could pick 9 times this spring.
Wow.
Like, holy crap. Yeah. I mean, and this year you're seeing, I think dividends for this year's class, minus maybe a couple who we're maybe not going to dwell on in this particular podcast because yes. We don't have the time, but positive things are happening. I think you'll see dividends of a lot of those guys start to pay off, if not late down the stretch this year, but certainly next year. Especially some of the guys who showed sort of promise in certain areas this year, Ernest Jones coming sort of top of mind here. I think that's another reason why this model becomes sustainable. And I think is maybe I do not doubt, like, Rams fans, it's kind of fun being on the inside of Rams Twitter at times, because Rams fans, I think, really get the model. Like, I think they really understand what's happening here. And it's also funny when you see that juxtaposed against maybe sometimes externally or nationally, like, what the hell are they doing? They just don't like picks or whatever. Les Snead, remember when we had him on this podcast, Rich, and he kind of was like, went on this like long, like a very, honestly, very Jordan-esque rant. He was like genuinely hurt that people don't think he likes draft picks. He said, I love draft picks. I pick 9 times a year. and it's just that they believe they're going to be winning, and they don't overvalue first round picks, and they don't overvalue second round picks. And I think there's a case to be made there in terms of internally, you're going to have your own data set for when that value turns into either a neutral or a net negative. And for the Rams, it's outside of the zone where they believe they'll be winning football games well enough to be assigned those lower picks. So in that way, they feel like, they're in a net positive if they're trading for quote unquote, like, known entities. And Von Miller and his body of work certainly is a quote unquote known entity. And so I think part of the sustainability that we talked about, flipping back to Ernest and some of these younger players, the sustainability of the model comes from guys like that. They're always going to try to build and rotate the solar system around these core players that were mentioned previously. By doing that, when you're in the draft, you don't have to identify a fourth round pick who miraculously does 4 things at a pro level. You only need to identify a fourth round pick who does 1 or 2 things at a pro level, but those things happen to complement an Aaron Donald. Those things happen to complement a Jordan Fuller, a Jalen Ramsey. They happen to complement the scheme that you're running and the system that you run. And because you're only looking for those 2 traits instead of the 5, because you will not find the 5 unless you are dealing with an extreme outlier, you can focus and channel a larger amount of resources into those 2 traits that you're looking for. and therefore increase your probability of hitting on those traits and finding a guy instead of just quote unquote throwing darts, as is often said about the later rounds of the draft. So that increases sustainability when it's also matched with how these coaches can develop players. I think Sean McVay perennially has some of the more underrated assistant coaches, externally underrated assistant coaches on his staff. And they certainly are not league-wide, are not underrated, because people are coming for those guys every single year. And part of it's because they can teach and they can develop. It's not just because they stood in a room with Sean McVay or, like, you know, had coffee next to him 10 feet away from him at one point. Like, it's because they can coach and teach and develop. And so when you match that with what they've put in to the resources that I just mentioned, you do have a sustainable model. And it's fascinating to see how that conversation juxtaposes in various ways. But I do think that, like, this is a team that's built to win now. And barring major, major setbacks, I do still think that it's a team that has potential to win in the future, even if they lose the big one now.
Yeah, I think so, too. That's a good point. I think they'd like to win this one. I mean, sure. Everybody would like, that's the stupid thing to say. But I guess what I mean is, given all the external circumstances, too. I mean, this being the first year with fans at SoFi, the Super Bowl being at SoFi, this being kind of the big comeback season, I think it would have a lot of meaning throughout the front office. The players, the coaches, they'll take their rings anytime they can get them. But I think from a team standpoint or from a marketing standpoint sort of thing, I mean, this is the dream scenario. Let's put it that way. If you're the Rams, to be in a position to win this particular Super Bowl. But again, they'd be happy to take anyone as any yeah, team,
not picky. Nobody.
Put any year on the side of the rings. It doesn't particularly matter.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
But Jordan, here's my question to you. And I'm not, as much as I am known from this, I'm not trying to stir the pot here. This is a genuine question because I want to get your opinion on this. I don't think we're shocked that Les Snead made a trade, right?
No.
I mean, if you are, you haven't really been paying attention over the last couple of years. But was this trade for 32-year-old Von Miller outside pass rush threat, was that the trade to best fill a need for the Rams on this team, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think, but again, like, I went into the trade deadline thinking that, now, as it turns out, rather narrowly thinking that they would have to operate within the parameters of their very limited cap space. I did not have a concept that they would get the Broncos to pay Von Miller's salary, right? So for me, I ruled Von Miller out because I thought that, there's not a way that you convince a team to pay that much of a salary, but then understanding that they threw in those picks while holding that card behind their back, like, now I understand it, you know, the benefit of hindsight, it's a wonderful thing. But at the time, you know, the Rams, I thought they were going to be looking for maybe a little bit of running back help, to help get them down the stretch. They still could make, they don't have much, guys. Like, they could not afford Von Miller. Just flat out. They're going to have less than $6 million. They're going to have actually around $4.5 million. And that's a ball, like, very slight ballpark. They're going to have around $4.5 million in space. And the other thing here is that if they can't find a trade partner for DeSean Jackson, who they are very firmly ready to part ways with, if they can't find a trade partner for him, and they end up cutting him on Tuesday, If another team, he's then as a veteran, even as a veteran, after the trade deadline, he's subjected to waivers. If a team does not claim him or they don't find a trade partner for him, then they're on the hook for the sort of the payout of the rest of his 2021 salary. Even though it's not like a dead money situation or anything like that, you're still, you know, you cut a player, you got to pay him. So, that's about $1.4 million. So, you know, I saw them maybe going after a reserve tight end, although Kendall Blanton has been showing up. And I know we're not going to really spend a lot of time talking about that game, but go back and watch Kendall Blanton's blocking for Robert Woods on the reverse touchdown. Really impressive stuff. And I think someone to keep an eye on. And I'll say it because I keep getting asked about it. Someone who is dangerously close to completely leapfrogging fourth round pick Bryson Hopkins, who I think has been given a lot of time to develop, and just, you know, and a lot of leniency, I think, including on this podcast by me, seeing behind the scenes how hard he's sort of tried to put it together, but just hasn't. So anyway, that's another conversation for another time. But I thought it would be maybe like some tight end help. I thought maybe a running back, certainly did not think inside linebacker, because they made it clear, again, please read the column. They made it clear, sort of again, factoring into their team build, what their balance is with that position in general and the sort of investment plan in that position, and made it further clear when they traded Kenny Young. But I didn't think it would be Von Miller for sure. And I think that when I say it's not a need, it doesn't mean I don't think it's a very, very good move for them. I do think it's a good move for them. I just didn't think it was necessarily a need, understanding they will get Justin Hollins back down the stretch. And then Oboe and Terrell Lewis have been playing well. But then you think about those guys that I just mentioned being in a pitch count rotation because of various injuries and load management. Leonard Floyd is playing his butt off and I think putting together a really admirable season. But at the same time, I go back to that game that they had against Kyler Murray, where he was finding his spaces because he was finding the places where those guys weren't. And if you add Von Miller to that equation, it's a lot harder to find the spaces where guys aren't. And it goes back to presenting those mathematical advantages. If you make things harder in that regard, you can do more things on the back end and you can contain in different ways. That it certainly alleviates some of the concern that you have at corner right now, some depth issues and some, you know, Robert Rochelle coming along in his rookie season. It certainly alleviates some of the things that you're worried about at linebacker as Ernest Jones continues to develop. If you have a complementary pass rush consistently, but not just one that's producing, but also like kind of the idea of one. I mean, it just changes things when you have to prepare for guys in that way. It just changes things that you think you can do as an offense. So in that way, and especially, I think it's so crucial to keep this front of mind when you look at the quarterbacks, the list of guys who they will have to get through in order to win a Super Bowl. It is an exhausting list to look at. And they have one of those themselves in Matthew Stafford. But at the same time, I didn't necessarily think it was like traditionally a need. But I do think it was a good move, and one that I do understand why they believe it will push them over the top and over the edge, no pun intended, in getting where they need to be and to getting to that promised land.
Yeah, Jordan B., I'm asking you this live, even though I should probably know the answer. Justin Hollins, what is that situation there? He's on IR. Have we heard anything in a while about him? Is that still a possibility this season?
You know what? I do think it's still a possibility this season. I'll have to follow up with Sean McVay later when he talks later today on it. But last I heard, him coming back was still a possibility. You won't get him though until probably like late December, early January maybe. And so that's where the concern comes in, because it's like, are you willing to have that vast expanse of time happen where you're also basing things on sort of unknown injury situations with two guys who have had history with injuries and sort of have to be on that workload management. So I think that's also maybe some of the motivation for it. And I also think that they're going to use Justin in a much more versatile way. You sort of saw hints of it before he got hurt, him moving into like that four eye rusher spot, him being a little bit more versatile, dropping a little bit. I mean, it's cool, the things that they might be able to do. And it's all about, just like Sean McVay builds these mathematical advantages on the offense, it's all about doing that on the defense as well. And I think that you are going to be able to do that with success with a player like Von Miller, not just because of what Von can do and his versatility, but what he also unlocks for players around him and even behind him.
Yeah, it's going to be super interesting, Jordan, because I mean,
super interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they're holding these kind of wild cards, you might call them. I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about Cam Akers, right? And whether he'd be able to come back for the playoffs. And then we're talking about Justin Hollins, and we're talking about probably some of the Darius Williams, you know, like some of the different people who could come back and kind of fit into all of this. You mentioned Jacob Harris is a guy who could, he's been playing a lot on special teams, but maybe he can start to transition into getting a few more snaps on that side of the ball. So there's some interesting things here down the road still, with half of the season, more than half of the season now in a 17 game season, where things can start to develop. And if some of those things go the Rams' way, and you pair that with bringing in Von Miller, then you can really see how this could come together. You mentioned early on, Jordan, how well the Rams have thought of him. And I'm sure going back to Wade Phillips being around Sean McVay as much as he was for 3 years, I know how much Wade, you know, loved Von Miller. So I'm sure he heard plenty of things about that relationship and how that was going to come together. But yeah, Jordan, I think it makes sense now because the stretch that they're entering too is now going to be, they've got through these last, you know, few games here. Oh, Detroit, the Giants, the Texans, you know, it's almost like preseason part two. But things are going to really ramp up here. And it just, I mean, devastating to hear that Tennessee is having Derrick Henry suffering a major injury. I don't think anybody wants to hear that. At 24 hours ago, I was looking at that game as being one that was like, wow, this is going to be a real good test for the Rams. But they have these games coming up now. Green Bay's on the short term here. San Francisco always plays them well, even though San Francisco hasn't been doing very well. These are going to be the games where you really start to find out about yourselves a little bit, right? And I think the Rams have put themselves in a position here where they can start to ramp up for the playoffs, and it could get pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think this is the day where you get out of bed and you think, like, if I'm in their shoes, you get out of bed and you think, this could happen.
Yeah.
I keep going back to what Sean McVay said a couple weeks ago as it pertained to Matthew Stafford and how they've opened up this offense. He said he knew he was going to be good, but he didn't know how good he would really be. He didn't know he was going to be this good.
Yeah.
So once you find out what you have, and you could tell, this is what I kept writing about all through training camp. Like, you could tell they were putting those pieces together and troubleshooting and collaborating and doing all of those things. And there were really gnarly, ugly days, and there were really good, cool days and all of that. But you could see those pieces start to stack up. And once you realized the potential here, what the ceiling might be, even though you don't truly know what it is yet, but that's exciting in many ways. Once you realize that you could really maybe perhaps make this happen, you could really do this. That's when they decided to kick down the door. And I think that's, you know, part of what the trade deadline should be used for and should exist for, and its timing. The way the Rams schedule lined up, also very convenient in terms of gathering themselves ahead of the stretch. But that's truly what I feel happened here. To clarify an earlier point I made, like, I'm not saying the Rams started talking to the Broncos after they poached Micah Kizer off of the practice squad. I was just saying the conversation opened in terms of, oh, they might have some needs. They might start to be having an issue here and maybe need to start looking toward the future. Continuing those collaborations with Kenny Young and really assessing. And when these GMs and these guys talk to each other about these trades, they find out like what the status of other spots are too. And yeah. So I think that when you're bubbling, and then you realize that you could really make this happen for yourself, this team could really do something with this wind, this space of time that they're in. And I think that this is them saying it's twofold, actually. And I do want to say, I think that this is them saying we are kicking down the freaking door. And I also think that the events of the last week in terms of Sean McVay, sort of agreeing and, dealing with the situation that was de-escalating with DeSean Jackson, and how that was unfolding behind the scenes, a player who he had history with, but deciding, you don't have time to continue to sort of, have negotiations about how many targets guys can have, which was widely reported, after week two and all of that. And you have to just get those things out of your way if you're this program. And now you see completely, it's almost like, that's going to be the roster spot that Von Miller takes.
Right.
It's like nothing is getting it. This is me like putting on my best Rams voice, right? Like nothing is getting in our way at this point. And we won't be tripped up by these things that could be, distracting or could be a situation or an issue. Like we're going full go and we're not letting things get in our way. And I think that these two, if you look at these two situations sort of in a vacuum, together in a vacuum, then you sort of see, kick the door down and roll over whatever's in your way.
Yeah, certainly a sense of urgency there. And I think that's a difference, not panic. There's a difference between urgency and panic. I don't think the Rams are panicked right now saying, oh, we have to do this. But there's an urgency because there's, like you just said, there's an opportunity. You look, I don't think that, and this is totally, totally subjective. I don't look at the Rams right now and say, oh, they're clearly the class of the NFC. They've obviously lost to a team in their division who has the same record as they do. So I don't think you can make that argument. But I think you can look around the conference and say, well, they've already beaten the Buccaneers. They're going to get a chance against the Packers. They're going to get another chance against the Cardinals. The Cowboys are doing well out east. I mean, those are really the teams. Those are the teams that you're going to have to get through to get to the Super Bowl. Rams have already beaten one of them. They know the opponent. They know the beast when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals, and they're going to get a chance against the Packers. So everything is right there in front of them. There's nothing that makes you think, oh, this is impossible, or things are really going to have to break the Rams' way in order for this to work. Not really. Everything that they need and everything that they have to do is really right in front of them. And that's what I think that creates that sense of urgency, is just that, okay, this is the time. And like you said, Jordan, we can't play around. We can't play around with DeSean Jackson. We can't play around with Tutu Atwell. We can't play around with whatever's going to happen at cornerback. Like we've got to be decisive and we've got to make some decisions that maybe will hurt people's feelings. Maybe will hurt their egos a little bit in the short term, but you can't worry about that right now. And that's really where the Rams are, I think. And we're entering that part of the schedule that I think will start to reveal some things about this team. But if you're a Rams fan, I think you've got to be psyched and you've got to be real excited about what the future holds. Jordan, we said we weren't going to talk that the Texans game. I even put it out on Twitter. Like, I did not watch live yesterday, Sunday. I was out. I was keeping track of all your great tweets and everybody else's. Look, the game was what it was. They blew out the Texans in the first half. They did what they needed to do. One thing I want to ask you about, though, Jordan, what did you, and again, I'm putting you on the spot here, and I'm sorry. I hate doing this, especially because it's an offensive lineman.
That's okay. What else could happen to me over the next couple of days? No. I mean, this is...
Yeah, Joe Noteboom. What did you pick up anything live and watching him, or it was one of those situations where like the fact that we didn't notice him, was that a good thing, or how did you think he fared in place of Andrew Whitworth there?
Yeah, such a great compliment to Joe that we didn't really notice him, or really we weren't really at times aware that he was even on the field, and that's a very, very high compliment for an offensive lineman. You know, this was his first game in live action since last year, midseason. So I do think that obviously there's probably room for improvement. I'm sure they're discussing those things. It doesn't sound like Andrew Whitworth's going to miss significant time. So I don't think it's necessarily something to panic about. But I thought when they ran the ball, I thought it was really solid. When they passed the ball, his blocking was good. His protection was good. Didn't seem like there were any communication issues. And they, you know, they did a couple of different things. Someone asked me, I thought it was a fair question. Someone asked me last week, do you think they'll be a little bit more conservative, especially, you know, in designing on that side and with the offense? And I was like, no, I think like a bunch of linemen pulled me aside at camp and said, go, you know, watch Joe Noteboom. Like he's really kind of, he was in Andrew Whitworth's garage that they call the dojo. He was there all spring. And all summer, and he was really trying to gain more power and really trying to get into his craft and studying and all these things. And those guys are really proud of him, Andrew Whitworth included. They're really, really proud of him, and they really like the guy. And I think Matthew likes him because he just kind of goes about his business. And they didn't seem to be any lack of cohesiveness. They were Robert Woods's fake pitch reverse. That went to the left side. And I thought that was notable that they're running deeper things from the playbook to his side. And I thought he played well. So I think that's someone to keep an eye on in terms of their future plans, kind of in no man's land right now. But at the same time, somebody who the Rams developed in house and who they really, really like and had gone through some adversity with injuries similar to Brian Allen. And I think two big decisions that maybe didn't seem so much, didn't seem like so much of a decision entering the year or maybe in the spring now become a pretty crucial decisions maybe for the Rams to make. And Rich, I know you didn't catch much of the game, but I did want to say, I do think that the Rams I'm suspicious that they decided to reveal this trade, which I feel like at this point, I feel like came together maybe like yesterday at some point. Or when it was announced that Von Miller was not going to be playing this weekend, maybe that's when things had been started to move. I sort of feel like they just waited to drop it this morning because they thought they knew you were watching, catching up on the game, and they just didn't want to hear any tweets about running the ball.
You know, it's fun, like you joke about that, and you and I have not talked about it. I was watching the game this morning, and I got to the point of the game where in the first or second quarter, I think Darrell Henderson broke it off for like a 15-yard run. And then I think they ran it they passed it like seven consecutive times or something. And the one of which was the fourth down play that was a turnover on downs. And I was like, my fingers were hovering over the keyboard. I'm like, do I do it? Do I really want to piss people off and like tweet about this the morning after? And then like 10 minutes later, the trade went down. I'm like, oh yeah, nobody's going to want to hear about my snarky crap anymore. But I thanked them because it meant I didn't have to really pay very close attention to the second half of the game, which I don't think anybody wants to. So on to Tennessee it is, and what will be, I still think, a pretty interesting game. Just devastating, man. I mean, if you like football, you like watching Derrick Henry play football. That's just the best way to put it, I think. And the fact that we're not going to be able to do that is saddening to me, not only for him, but for everybody. But I still think it'll be an interesting game. And of course, Jordan will be there to cover it all throughout the week. We're recording this on Monday afternoon. So make sure you follow along with Jordan on Twitter all week, because we haven't yet heard from Sean McVay in his normal Monday press conference. So Jordan, of course, will have all the updates on injuries and things like that, how Von Miller is fitting in, whether or not he'll be able to play this Sunday. So make sure you're following Jordan at Jordan Rodrigue on Twitter. If you want to follow me at Rich_Hammond, the only thing I really offer are updates on the uniform standings, which apparently are pretty popular. And we'll see where that goes. The modern throwbacks, your favorite phrase, Jordan, the modern throwbacks will be on the field on Sunday.
New vintage. Most
vintage. Yeah. Yeah.
Upcycled.
Great. We should come up with the alternative words, alternative phrases for that. But most importantly, Jordan, people need to follow along at The Athletic on the app, on the website. You are giving them amazing coverage all the time. And we thank those people who have been subscribers, who have been supporting us for a long time. But Jordan, if they haven't already, subscribe, they can go to theathletic.com/11personnel right now. They could go right now and get one of Jordan's favorite things in the entire world, along with her dog Tucker, who's waiting for her back home. And what is that, Jordan?
A great discount. And I almost started crying when you said that.
Sorry.
Bless his little heart. He has no idea what's happening. He's like, where the hell is she?
He cares not one single damn about Von Miller.
Yeah.
He just wants to know when you're coming back.
Yes, but you can get my favorite thing in the entire world, which is a great discount when you subscribe to The Athletic through the 11 Personnel podcast. You will always get a great discount. You guys, apologies, by the way, for the sound. Rich will probably share a photo out later of where I am right now and my sort of state of wellness. But we just so appreciate you guys. You know what? I was talking to Rich offline about this before, and you guys have caught on to our idiosyncrasies in this podcast, and I cannot tell you how warm it makes me feel and how like sort of familial, almost like we're all kind of in on the joke together, to see you guys tweet these things at us, especially how much fun you guys have with that long pause at the beginning of the podcast. We just love you guys. Thanks for following along, and we will catch you next week.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.